small handbag in her lap, and then gazed at the grandmother, her hazel eyes shimmering softly in the dim light of the coach. He glanced out the window again. He needed to get out of Texas before his relatives found out he was alive.
"But you'll have family in Fort Worth,"
the older woman reminded her. Miss Anderson hesitated.
"Yes, yes, I will." "What's your kinfolk's name? I know a lot of people in town. I just might know them."
Just then, a loud pop drew Tanner's attention back to the window. Finally! The snap of the driver's bullwhip sounded above them, and the stagecoach took a wild lurch, the horses picking up speed. The burst of gunfire and the whine of a bullet whizzed by the window, and Tanner grabbed the ladies by the arm.
"Down on the floor, both of you!"
He shielded their bodies with his own as the gunfire got closer and closer.
"What's happening?"
the young woman asked, trying to raise her head.
"I think it's called a hold-up,"
he said, pushing her head back down. A voice yelled close to the stagecoach,
"Stop this damn coach before I shoot you!"
The stage slowed and finally, after several minutes, came to a halt.
"Everyone out!"
the man commanded, his voice gruff.
"Now!" "Ladies, do what the man says," Tanner said,
rising up, hating what he did for a living. Opening the door, he stepped out of the stagecoach, his hands high in the air. He turned slightly to his right and gave a hand first to the older woman and then to the stunning Miss Anderson. Her eyes were wide with fright, but she gazed about the group, her chin held high, her eyes taking in every detail. She wasn't panicking like most women he'd encountered in a holdup. The men's faces were covered with bandanas, their cowboy hats pulled low over their foreheads. Their only visible features were their eyes. Tanner stood to the left of the women, waiting and watching.
"Where's the driver?"
Sam asked, looking around.
"I want that gold."
No one responded, but stood quietly at attention, their hands held up. Seaborn Barnes slid off his horse and started toward the women.
"Off with your jewelry, ladies. Hand over your money and your valuables. Keep those hands up in the air until we get to you. If everyone follows the rules, then you'll all live to see another day."
Suddenly, the driver of the stagecoach stepped from behind the stage, a rifle in his hands. He swung the gun up and aimed the barrel at Sam Bass, the leader of the gang.
"You ain't robbing my stage!"
the driver yelled, intent on killing Sam. Tanner reacted without thinking. He shoved the point of the rifle away just as the gun went off. The bang of the gunshot exploded in the still countryside, sending birds skyward. The impact of the bullet knocked Miss Anderson to the ground. Slowly, a crimson stain appeared on the beautiful woman's pink blouse, marred by the gunshot. A cry ripped from Tanner's throat, echoing in the hills, as he gazed at the woman lying in a crumpled heap in the dirt. Dear God, he'd pushed the barrel of the rifle right at her. He'd killed Miss Anderson. Stunned, Tanner stood there while the past collided with the present, and once again he was on the battlefield fighting for his life, dodging bullets, fighting beside Carter.
"I'm obliged to you, Jackson,"
Sam Bass said, jolting Tanner back to the present. For a moment he was confused by the name Jackson, but then he slowly realized that was how he was known, Jackson to the law, and to everyone who hadn't known him before the war.
"Somebody help that poor girl!"
the grandmother cried. But her pleas for help were ignored as the bandits grabbed the last bit of money from the older woman, emptied the gold from the bank's stronghold box, and finished collecting their loot.
"Let's get out of here!"
cried Seaborn as he kicked the empty box out of the way. In shock, Tanner watched as the raiders jumped back on their horses. In a matter of moments, they spurred their horses, galloped down the lane away from the stagecoach, and left him behind. This was where he was going to rejoin them, where he should jump on his own horse and ride with them to their hideout. But Miss Anderson lay bleeding on the ground. Torn, he watched them riding away, their horses' hooves thundering in the still prairie, his chance for a new life sprinting off into the countryside. The urge to follow them was insistent, but the woman lay still as death on the ground. Another person dead because of him. His future didn't.